Again, I want to emphasize that the traditional Pharisaical way of counting Pentecost in the year 1990 is incorrect, because their first day of counting begins with the 16th, so their first Sabbath is bumped back a week. It's bumped back a week. Okay? Notice that, and I would have to conclude this, that if Pentecost would always fall on the same day of the month, there would be no reason to count. Every other day that is fixed by a numbered month and numbered day, God specifically states. We know that the first day, the first month, the 14th day of the first month is the Passover. The 15th day of the first month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the first holy day. The 21st of the first month is the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpets. The 10th day of the seventh month is Atonement. The 15th day of the seventh month is the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the 22nd, the last great day, is a solemn assembly, and in Hebrew it is Shabbat. Shabbaton, which means a Sabbath of Sabbathizing. Okay, the last great day. So if it was to be on the 6th of Sivan, God would have said very clearly, and in the third month, on the 6th day of the third month, is the Feast of Weeks. Now let's go to the year 1991. Year 1991, again, the traditional Pharisaical way is correct. Now this time, I want you to tell me why it is correct. Why is it correct? Because the 16th of Nisan falls on the first day of the week. Whenever the 16th of Nisan falls on the first day of the week, the Pharisaical way of counting to Pentecost is correct. And it falls in on a Sunday. Now, let's take our other calendars here for just a minute. Okay, do you have the other calendars there? And I got these squeezed down to on 8.5 by 11, so the ones I mail out, I will send out on 8.5 by 11 and give you copies of those too. How's that? Okay, let's come to 1992. 1992, we have what? 16th is on the first day of the week. So that means that they are keeping the Passover on the correct day. Day of Pentecost. Okay. They're keeping the day of Pentecost. Thank you. Appreciate that. See, we have watchmen over here watching that I do it right. Thank you. Okay. It's on the first day of the week, 7 complete weeks. But notice all the way through, they also celebrate the 7th of Sivan. So they've got to add another day to be a little better than God. Okay? Let's go to 1993. 1993. Okay? The weekly Sabbath is the 19th of the first month. See that? The day after the weekly Sabbath is the 20th. So the reason I got these extra ones is so you can go through and see the similarity. As you go through a period of, say, 10 years, you will find the same thing reoccurring. Okay? So therefore, they are off in calculating their Pentecost because it should fall on the 10th of Sivan. 10th of the third month. Okay? Now, unfortunately, when I had it, they cut off the names of the months here on the side. So, we'll have to get along without that. Suffice to say that in the year 1993, Pentecost will fall upon May 30th. That would be the correct Pentecost. Okay? Now, if you want to go count this again, let's go through and count this, but I won't put it on the tape. We'll count this again. Let's do our little counting here so we make sure we understand it correctly and incorrectly. Okay? Now, in the year 1993, I want you to count the correct way and the incorrect way. The correct way would bring Pentecost on the 10th of Sivan or the 30th of May. The incorrect way, counting the Pharisaical way, beginning from the 16th, then your first Sabbath would be the 19th, your seventh Sabbath would be the 2nd of Sivan, and in order to have Pentecost on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you would be a week short. You can't get 50 days within that time period. That's why there is the check of 50 days. Remember, seven Sabbaths, seven complete weeks, plus one day or 50. That should bring it complete every time. Now, do you see where it's wrong in this case in 1993? Let's review, since we're here at 1993. You count from the morrow after the Sabbath, not from the Sabbath. From the morrow after the Sabbath, which in 1993 brings you to nice and 20. Okay? You got that? You don't count from the Sabbath, but from the morrow after the Sabbath. Okay? Now, I went through and reviewed it because there is one other problem that occurs, which is in 1994. So let's go to 1994. 1994 is a year in which these things happen very rarely. Sometimes they will occur a couple times in a row. Sometimes they will occur once every once in a while. I want you to look at 1994. Everybody have 1994? What do you notice about this Feast of Unleavened Bread that is different than the others? The first holy day is on a Sunday. So I want you to go ahead and put a triangle around Sunday, because that becomes a wave sheaf offering day, and I will explain why. When you have the first holy day on a Sunday, the last holy day falls on a Sabbath, the regular weekly Sabbath. So I want you to put a block around that. Okay? You see that? Now, let's go back, come over the page and down to the bottom to the 14th of Nisan, which is the Passover, which is on the regular Sabbath. Okay? Now, I'm going to explain to you why the wave sheaf offering is done, in this case, on the first holy day. The reason is that, as you see, the last holy day is on the Sabbath. So you have no regular Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. You have one, which is the last holy day and the regular Sabbath, the 21st. Okay? The day after that, then, is outside the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is already finished. So why would it be waived on the first holy day in this rare instance. Okay? Because the Passover falls on a Sabbath. The Passover lamb has been sacrificed. All right? So the wave sheaf offering should come, then you can add one more rule. On the first day, during the days of unleavened bread, when the first holy day is on a Sunday. So that the sacrifice of Christ falls within the Passover and days of unleavened bread, not after the days of unleavened bread. Okay? Let me repeat that again. The reason you count in this case using the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it's the first day of the week, it is waived on that day because the Passover lamb was sacrificed on the weekly Sabbath. And the Passover lamb then is the starting point for it in the rare instance where the entire week of the Feast of Unleavened Bread runs from the first day of the week to the last day of the week, the seventh day. Now, if it were waived on the 22nd, then you would have the sacrifice of Christ being accepted after the days of unleavened bread rather than during the days of unleavened bread. That is why Jesus was not crucified in a year when the Passover fell on a regular Sabbath. Okay? So if we count this one, let's count the weeks. 21 is 1, 28 is 2, 5 is 3, 4 is 12, 5 is 19, 6 is 26, 7 is 4, and the 5th of Sivan being the 15th of May is the Feast of Pentecost. Okay? In this case, everything is the tightest that it can be. You can't have anything shorter than this for the total number of days from Passover to Pentecost. Okay? Now, yes. And you will notice that it is very early. This is a common year of... Let me explain something to you. Let me put it on the board first. Now that we've had a real short lesson on calendar calculation, which, by the way, I would love to give a class on calendar calculation sometime, because I think if you ever took it, and ever went through it, and it's really not difficult. If you ever took it and could ever master that, you would feel a great sense of accomplishment. Okay? Okay, I will tell you, Teresa. Okay? Now, let's go. Let's look at 1994. Okay? 1994, I want you to look right under the column where it says 5754. You see that? You see 5754? Okay, turn it sideways and go down the months. Tishri, Hesvan, Kislev, Tebeth, Shabbat, and Adar. Then Nisan. You see that? Okay, now, take the next page, 1995. Which is 5755. I want you to go down. We'll read the months again. Tishri, Heshvan, Kislev, Tebeth, Shebat, Adar 1, Adar 2. Whenever there is a leap year, the second Adar, Adar 2, is added. What does that do to the time of keeping the Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread? Have you ever wondered why some years it's early and some years it's late? Okay, I'll tell you why. There's still all the feast days, but you see that extra month that we added on right there, you see it right before your very eyes is Adar 2 here. This is a leap year with the added 30 days. That's what it is. How does that work for the crops? It works just fine because I've never seen it out of season. Whenever you have a leap year or a common year, you will find that the seasons are right on. Have you ever heard of an Indian summer? Have you ever heard of a late spring? Why do we have an early summer or a late spring or a late fall? It's because the way that God has calculated time, He's accounted for that. Okay? Now, I have a question. On a Hebrew calendar, what's going to happen to those who are born in Adar 2? The same thing that happens to everyone today who is born on February 29th. You can't keep your birthday unless there's the 29th of February, or you can't keep your birthday on a Hebrew calendar unless there is Adar 2. The sacred calendar is figured in a 19-year time cycle. You've heard of that before. There is such a thing. It is true. It does exist, only it's been misapplied in prophecy. It is for calendar calculation. In a 19-year time cycle, these following years are leap years, being approximately 385 days. Year 3, year 6, year 8, year 11, year 14, year 17, and year 19. All the rest are common years with 353 or 4 or 5 days approximately. Now, why do I say that? Let's come back to 1995. Now, I want you to notice how late everything is in 1995 in relationship to the other things that we have, okay? Okay, 1995. Let's come to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? 1995, the correct way and the Pharisaical way of calculating Pentecost are the same because Nisan 16 falls on a Sunday. But notice, and you see something very rare that happens here. The same numbered days in April are the same numbered days in the first month of Nisan. You see that? Okay? April 16th is also Nisan 16. Very rarely happens, but it does. Okay? But notice the feast runs until Friday, the 21st of April. Now, that is late. Go back and look at the year before, and we find that the feast runs until the 2nd of April. Okay? The reason being from one year to the next is because there is that Adar 2 put in there. Okay? Now you know why it will vary. That's why the seasons vary. God created the seasons. That's why Passover varies. That's why Pentecost will vary. Okay? So 1995, we have it very late. Okay? And in this year, it's very late, too. It's the 3rd of June. Okay? In 1995, Pentecost will be the 4th of June. All right? Let's go to 1996. 1996, because we go back how many days? How many days? We go back 10 to 11 days. Passover the next year drops back 10 to 11 days. See that? Okay. Passover is on the 4th of April. So we're back exactly 10 days the next year, 1996. Okay, I will let you go ahead and see if you can figure on your own and count that out at home. All right, that's fine. So much for the calendar. Now, brethren, if you can understand this, and I don't expect you necessarily to understand it the first time through. And I know, but anyway, at least you can know you're going to be challenged when you come to Sabbath services. Okay? Which is fine. You wouldn't want to come and hear just whatever you knew that you were going to hear. Okay? Now, I realize that it's been a little trying, a little tedious. But what does this do? This arms you with the correct knowledge. And after all, if it can be read, I see no reason why it cannot be taught. That way, then, you're going to be on guard against anyone coming up and saying Pentecost is on a different day. Now, let's look at a couple of things further. Let's see where we need to go from here. Going approximately 2 hours. It's a little short here because I went into a small blackboard dissertation on the difference between a Roman calendar and a sacred calendar, and I did arrive late, so you're going to have a short tape, but everybody else here has had a long tape. So we'll pick it up next time, and we will please be sure and bring back next time this one written by William Dankenbrink, Astounding New Truth. And what I will do, we will go through that entire paper. And the reason being is that, here, let's just end with this one scripture, which is very important. Now, believe it or not, if you've understood all of this up to this point, or at least if you have grasped it and you think you can go home and practice and work through it, that's fine. Believe me, we are through the most difficult part. There is nothing hard to understand from here on out. That's a relief. Okay? Let's go to 1 Timothy. No, 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, the second chapter. Now, even though we had to get into a few peripheral areas, which are not necessarily in the Bible, it reflects upon the Bible, and let's hear 2 Timothy 2, and let's pick it up in verse 14. Okay, verse 14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words. And isn't that what we are doing with Pentecost? Huh? Shabbat, Shavua, okay, etc. To no profit. To no profit, no upbuilding, but to the subverting of the hearers. I bet they were going through some of those things then. You know, if there were Pharisees around, they had to be going through it, right? Okay. Verse 15, we're admonished. Study to show yourself approved unto the rabbi, unto the minister, unto the congregation. No, unto God. That's what we're supposed to do. A workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's what we're doing. We are rightly dividing the word of truth, and you need to be armed with that same information, don't you? Okay? But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, which it always does. Why? Because people become disillusioned. I tried to listen to that tape, The Sleight of Hand, but I only had the first part of that tape. It didn't come out too good, the rest of it, because mine broke down. But it is so absolutely clear that the biggest reason why people get disillusioned with God, they say, is not because of God, but because of men who say they represent God. And when there are all these vain janglings and strifes and I've got a new idea, astounding new truth, all this sort of thing, and then people get turned off with it, it leads to more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker. Because it'll put doubts in your mind, and you won't know if it's correct. Okay? Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Here's one they were dealing with then. Saying the resurrection is already past. That's something? Isn't it going to be any more resurrection, folks? All over with. And overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, in spite of all men. So if anyone out there listening to the tape is feeling they're getting disillusioned with God because of men and arguments of men, remember this. The foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So that's why we have to know these things, though they get a little technical. You see, God is always greater than the false prophet. God is always greater than the heretic, because his truth can never be denied. So if we get into it, it gets a little technical, and you got through the toughest part, you're to be congratulated, because now it's going to be easier. Next time.